I want to turn to the book of Psalms. A verse that I looked at for the message from last week about being satisfied, but the more I looked at it, the more I recognized, wow, there's a whole message right there. Praise God. Psalm 17, verse 15. Are you just now setting your clock ahead? Good job. Good job. Keeping up with the times. Psalm 17, 15. Look at the way it starts out. This is what I want you to grab a hold of. This is what I want you to make personal. As for me. Say that with me. As for me. Notice how he's nailing it down. This is my purpose. This is my determination. This is my choice, my decision. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, my. Thank God that we can make that determination. As for me, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situations are, no matter what's happening or not happening, as for me, I'm going to put myself in the presence of the Lord and in his service. You may be seated. Now, David used that phrase several times, and that's what stuck with me and helped me to understand, wow, there's much that he has indicated as his purpose when he stated, as for me. Back in 1 Chronicles 29 and 17, his giving for the temple and his recognition of how important God's house is was part of his as for me. 1 Chronicles 29 and 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. And he is aware of what the Lord is doing in terms of preparation for the temple. And since God is pleased with uprightness, David wanted to be upright in his heart. He recognized, okay, God, if you're pleased with that, that's what I'm going to reach for. That's what I'm going to desire. I'm going to be upright in my heart. As for me, that's the way it's going to be. He offered willingly and was joyful that the people did so as well, because he honored the house of the Lord. He knew the blessings of the Lord. Psalm 5 and 7. Psalm 5 and 7, again, he declares, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. What determination! I will come into thy house. No doubt back in those days they had reasons and excuses and justification as to why they didn't have to come to the house of the Lord, just as many people today would offer those kinds of reasons and ideas. But the determination, I will come into thy house and I will worship because of the multitude of mercy. And he recognized, that's what I find in the house of the Lord. That's why I'm going to be faithful. As for me, I'm going to remain in the house of the Lord. Think of the time that David celebrated the return of the ark. As it was taken captive by the Philistines, it remained in their place for many years, and David determined, I'm going to bring that ark back. It's symbolic of the presence of the Lord. It's not a holy relic in itself, but it is symbolic of God being in the midst of the camp. I'm going to bring it back. And those that carried the ark took only six steps. And David said, wait, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus, or the name of Jehovah, We're going to exalt him and praise him. And they offered that sacrifice after taking only six steps. And then what did David do? Danced before the Lord with all his might. Praise God. He was excited. He was thrilled. He knew the presence of the Lord. He knew what God can do. And he therefore determined, as for me. Praise God. Psalm 69 and 13. When he was talking about seeking God or thinking about seeking God and his desire for prayer. Psalm 69 and 13. As for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Notice how he emphasizes that aspect of mercy. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord. Thank God for the mercy that he extends to us again and again. Thank God for the mercy that the Lord gives to us. Not what we deserve, but mercy that the Lord would provide. Praise God. And he could rejoice in the answers he received in mercy and in truth. Psalm 41 and 12. When he recognized seeking the face of God, desiring the Lord, and calling upon his name and reaching out for him. Psalm 41 and 12, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. That was his desire. That was his recognition that he desired to be in the presence of the Lord forever. And that's where we get his text, or this text from Psalm 17 and 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, how important, how necessary, how good to have. And as for me, I'm going to see your face. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep reaching for you and desiring your presence in my life. Praise God. Now, David's not the only one that had an as for me dedication. Joshua and his challenge to the people of God to serve him. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. He challenged the people who were hearing him that day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The people said, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said, okay, put away the strange gods that you have in your midst. How in the world could they have strange gods after coming across the Jordan and after 40 years before coming through the Red Sea and the 10 plagues that delivered them from Pharaoh and Egypt and so on? How could that happen? That just shows you how prone our flesh is to just choosing an easy way, choosing a convenient way. Choosing a way that's not going to require very much of you, and this is the way that everybody else is going, so you can as well. But Joshua challenges them, okay, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to make that decision, then put away the strange god. Oh, how important to get rid of things that are keeping us from serving God completely. Things that are distracting. Things that are discouraging. But to move into that realm. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua set up a stone for a witness. And words were written in stone as he would recall the commandments and so on. The stone was a silent memorial of their dedication, like the pile of stones that they carried from the middle of the Jordan over to a place called Gilgal and heaped them up in a pile as a reminder of how God would bring deliverance. They needed this reminder of how they had determined, we're going to serve God. And Joshua giving that challenge, as for me, we're going to serve the Lord. And thank God Israel did serve God in the days of Joshua. In fact, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, they served the Lord. Praise God. It's good to have that kind of determination. Samuel, the young man who heard the voice of the Lord and then grew up in the priest's home and trained to follow what God would declare. In First Samuel 12 and 23, Samuel makes this determination. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. It seems as though Samuel is declaring to be prayerless is to be sinful. And it works the other way too as well. To be prayerful is to be sinless. Praise God. I like that arrangement. I like the way God arranges it for us. Prayer was Samuel's priority. And moreover, he determined that he would teach them the good and the right way. In verse 21 of that chapter, 1 Samuel 12, he said, "Turn not aside from following the Lord." In verse 22, he declares, "The Lord will not forsake his people, and it pleased the Lord to make you his people." Thank God, again, there is that choice that the Lord would make an exercise in reaching out to you and to me. In verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." Oh, yes. No wonder there can be an "as for me." I know what he's done for me. I know how he's provided. I know how he has been my God and has heard my cry. Hallelujah. And I will serve him. Praise God. And even more so for the church, because you are blood bought. You are called by the name above every name. You are filled with the wonderful Spirit of God, and his touch can continue in your life. That teaching that Samuel determined to do continues on now, because God desires to teach us to draw closer to him. Titus 2 and 12, the grace that is not only amazing, but in our day, in our age, it is being abused. Amazing grace becomes abusing grace by people who think they can live however they want, do whatever they want, come to the house of the Lord and praise and worship, but then go and live like the devil the rest of the week. Abusing grace. No, look what that grace does. That grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. If we were to go back to the world that Paul was a minister in, if we were to be there with him as he preaches from town to town, we would recognize it was not a Sunday school picnic. It was not something that could happen just with a snap of a finger and decide, well, this is how we're going to evangelize. This is how we're going to preach. No, they were up against a great deal of opposition. They faced a lot of persecution. They went forth into a culture that had no idea how great Jesus is and how powerful he is. It was a fable to them of a resurrection. It was simply something that they'd heard about from a distant land, of those being healed, those blind eyes being opened, and the lepers being cleansed. They heard it as just something that they could shrug and pass over and say, well, that's interesting. But Paul preached in this present world. And likewise, you and I can grab a hold of those principles that grace is teaching us, denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, choosing to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, it's the Spirit that teaches us. It's the Spirit that reaches into our lives. It's the Spirit that makes the Word of God come alive, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Understanding the emphasis has got to be on the spiritual, because the natural man thinks the things of God are foolishness. Doesn't fit, doesn't work, not relevant, outdated, old-fashioned. But thank God, the power of the Lord continues to manifest itself in our lives. Amen. Thank God that we can continue to learn. Thank God that we can always gain more, especially from the Word of the Lord. But oh, how important to avoid what Paul identified to 2 Timothy 3 and 7. And again, this is part of the society that he lived in. This is part of what he was trying to break through and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, "They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." What a sad circumstance to be continually gaining knowledge. And perhaps he was thinking of Mars Hill in Acts 17 when there were those who would discuss different ideas and different philosophies, and they wanted to know more. They invited Paul to speak, and they said, well, we'll hear you again. And there are others who outright mocked and scoffed about what he said concerning the resurrection. But thank God there were those who likewise believed. That's the society we're living in today. And oh, thank God we can come to the knowledge of the truth. Your testimony can bring the knowledge of the truth. Your witness can bring the knowledge of the truth. Your teaching can bring the knowledge of the truth. Thank God for the power and the blessing of God's truth when he declared, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. So we need teachers. And that's what Samuel was recognizing. Got to be teachers. Hebrews 5 and 12 brings an indictment against the church, against believers, for the time when you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Oh, what a comparison of the need for maturity, the need to step into the realm of teaching and understanding. This is what God can do. God's power can be displayed in this manner. Praise God. And the works of the Lord can continue on, because there are principles that the Lord is going to honor. There are principles from the Word of God that have stood the test of time and have been in existence through the ages, but God has brought them forth again and again to show his power. 2 Timothy 2 and 2, Paul again challenges the aspect of the need for teaching. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Teach them, who shall be able to teach others also. I like the way that Paul is challenging them to be continuous, to have a continuity in the doctrines that they knew to be true. Paul said it. Timothy heard it. Timothy taught faithful men. Those faithful men taught others. God help us to continue to pass it on to generation and generation, and to let others know God is going to be faithful to his word. God is going to hold forth his word. You can stand up with an as for me dedication, an as for me statement, and know that's not going to be sinking sand. That's going to be a solid rock in the foundation that the Lord has established. And thank God for his word, because God said it too, considering his word. As for me, Genesis 17 and 4. Lord's talking to Abraham. As for me, God told him, behold, my covenant is with you. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Time has gone by. There hasn't been an heir. And they're not a son that's been born. And they tried to fix that and made a mess of it. But God came forth again with his promise. As for me, my covenant. That's what we can hold on to. That's what we can believe. Praise God. God fulfilling his promise. God fulfilling his covenant. If God has sent you to North Pole, there's going to be the fulfillment. There's going to be the covenant that will come to pass. Ah, yes. The covenant that God has declared. The power that God will reveal. There will be people filled with the Holy Ghost. There will be people baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Because that is his covenant. Hallelujah. And there will be many people. There will be the plan of God that is being fulfilled. God is going to show his power. Because he declared, as for me. Hallelujah. I'm not talking like some pickle king. I'm not talking like somebody who said, oh, almost, you made me a Christian. No, he's talking of somebody who is powerful, the God of the universe, the one who speaks and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word and his covenant. Isaiah 59 and 21. Isaiah 59, 21, as for me, this is God speaking now. This is the Lord declaring it. As for me, this is my covenant, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Praise God. Amen. Those who go to plant a church don't have to change the doctrine. Don't have to doctor it up. Don't have to make it more palatable and more compatible with the culture so that they can make it easier. No, I put my spirit on you. I put my word in your mouth. It's not going to depart. It's not going to depart out of your seed or out of their seed. Thank God for the generations that are going to continue on with the truth of the word of God. And it's not going to change. It's going to remain powerful. It's going to remain life-changing. It's going to remain where marriages are helped, where families are helped, where God blesses in a powerful way, where his healing hand is demonstrated. Oh, I'm going to hold on to that word. I'm going to hold on to that covenant. As for me, I'm going to believe what God declares in his word. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My spirit, he said. My spirit. A new heart and a new spirit, he said, he would put within us. I'll put my spirit within you. Ezekiel 36 and 27. My words. Thank God. Not the words of some philosophy, not the words of some religious organization, not the words of some educational institute. My words, the Lord declares. Amen. He described the covenant with words, and he acted on it by the power of his spirit. My words are not going to depart out of your mouth or the generations to come. Thank God. We're going to hold on to it henceforth and forever. Glory to God. As for me. Amen. Now, David talked about the likeness of God. You've got to have an as for me attitude about that as well. The Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Old Herod, the reprobate, heard the reports of miracles by Jesus, and he thought it was John raised from the dead. That's amazing that he could believe miracles like that. He could believe resurrection, but he couldn't believe enough to change his own nasty life. Couldn't believe enough to stand up to, what's her name?
Herodias.
Yeah. Herodias and her ungodly daughter. Huh. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah. Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? See, that's where it's got to become as for me. That's where it's got to live personally in your heart, in your life. And Peter answered, God bless Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was his as for me statement. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord called him blessed. Blessed because of that revelation that he had. Because Jesus is the image of God. Amen. Colossians 1:15, he's the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1 and 3, he's the express image of his person. Amen. And even more than just a likeness, he is God manifest in the flesh. Oh, as for me, hallelujah, I'm going to believe what the Lord declared. Peter had another as for me statement. The disciples had fed the thousands, and now the thousands are walking away. The Lord turned to his disciples and asked them, will you also go away? And here's Peter again with his, as for me. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Changed from as for me to as for us. As for us, this is what we believe. And we're sure about it, Lord. Because there's nowhere else we can go. And you're the one who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God we can be in the likeness of his death and resurrection. Not literally, of course, thank the Lord, but spiritually. Romans 6:5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptized into his death. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Baptism in the name above every name. See, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not a guarantee of salvation for everyone. I had a man tell me that. That's what that means. Everybody's going to be saved. Everybody's going to come to confession to the Lord. No, that's not what that means. That means everybody forcibly at the great white throne judgment is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. But oh, thank God we can do that now in a willingness, in a, as for me, you are Lord, and I take your name in baptism. Praise God. And what a privilege we step into because of that power of the name, because of his blood, hallelujah, that covers us and protects us. Amen. And we're raised up from the dead by the power of the Spirit, and we walk in newness of life, and we continue serving God as a living sacrifice, becoming more and more in his likeness. We receive and keep the Spirit. Praise God. Jasmine received the Holy Ghost here a while ago. Amen. Adelaide received the Holy Ghost. Adelaide just turned 4 years old when these little girls got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And on a Wednesday night, regular service. And Adelaide comes to her mom and tries to tell her, I am speaking in tongues. But every time she would say one word in English, there would be a flow of speaking in tongues. I am, speaking. And praise God. Don't you know God gave her an as for me experience? Amen. Oh, yes. That's not going to be washed away. That's not going to be wiped out. The devil's not going to say, you just made that up. He may attempt to. But Adelaide and so many other young ones, thank God, can say, as for me, I know what happened. I know I was filled. I know God filled me with his Spirit. As for me, hallelujah. And so from little ones all the way up to the aged. Amen. Sister Glover's grandmother spoke in tongues right up to the days before her death. Amen. The pastor would come to visit, or somebody from the church would come to visit. They'd have prayer, and immediately she'd go into speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. As for me, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to maintain and multiply the spiritual blessings in the Spirit that God has given me. So then, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. I'm waiting for that trumpet sound. I'm waiting for that shout. I'm waiting for the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. And that change that's going to come. Philippians 3:21. He'll change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know what that means? That means no more pain, no more sorrow, and no more death. Thank God. No more suffering. No more things that we've got to put up with. Thank God. He'll change our vile body and be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's our God. That's His word. That's the as for me, my covenant. Oh, praise God. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, praise God. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Ah, yes. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, right now, are we the sons of God in this present world. Praise God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. How in the world are we going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible? How is He going to change our vile body to be like unto His glorious body? Doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't need an explanation. I believe it. Praise God. But we know. We know that. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Amen. As for me. Now, it's not all about me. Let's not get that confused. Not all about me. God, you got to do this. You got to do that before, and so on. Because if you do that, the Lord, sure enough, going to require things of you. Lord, I'll put this fleece out. Make it wet, everything else dry. Lord, I'm going to put this fleece out again. Make it dry, everything else wet. Okay. You got 32,000? Too many. Everybody's fearful. Go home. What a cloud of dust those 22,000 made as they're marching home. You still got too many. Let's go down to the water. Sometimes the water is a test of really whether you're going to follow God or not. You're going to get in the waters of baptism. And all that just plunged down, they're not concerned about security. They're not watching each other's back. They're just wanting to satisfy their thirst. And they get down there and drink water. I let all of them leave. And the ones that are careful, the ones that cup the water and they're keeping an eye out and they're watching, and they bring the water to their mouth, you stay with them. Gideon thought, well, surely these are seasoned men. Surely they know. Surely they're going to be careful. And oh, hundreds, thousands plunging down into the river, down into the water. He has to send them home. See, you got to be careful. You start, doing fleece type things. God can do fleece things to you. Yeah. See, so as for me, not indifferent, not so what, not whatever. As for me, no, not like that. It says, as for me. A determination, a choice, a decision to take steps to prepare, to maintain readiness, to wait on the Lord with hope and anticipation, to determine as for me on the job, at school, in the store, in the post office, the gas station, the restaurant, wherever, and all the time, as for me. Praise God. Praise God. Stand with me if you've got a as for me attitude. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord and His mercy is extended to us again and again. Brother Mike, Sister Glover were telling me about a man who came to church and he was entering in to some degree, and the evangelist preached and called for all those who wanted to receive the Spirit to come up, and over 20 of them came, and here's this man standing there, but he wasn't praying, didn't have his hands raised, wasn't doing anything. They finally went to him and and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a Hebrew. And the only reason I come to this church is because you worship one God. But you're worshiping the wrong one. Jesus isn't God. Jehovah is God. And they tried to work with him a little bit. And he said, the only way I'm going to believe it is if God himself tells me that he is Jesus. And just at that moment, a lady standing next to him began receiving the Spirit, talking in tongues, and saying in Hebrew, I am God, and my name is Jesus. And she said it over and over, I am God, and my name is Jesus. I am God, and my name is Jesus. The man raised his hands, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God's mercies. Oh, God's power. He can make it real. He can make it powerful. He can make it sure. As for me. Hallelujah. Would you come and worship here for a few minutes now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. The mercy of the Lord that we find in his house. No wonder David would say it so strongly, as for me, because of your mercy, Lord, because of your presence, Lord. As for me, I'm going to continue in your house. I'm going to continue in your ways. And I will awake in thy likeness. I will behold your face. I hope there's that determination that comes up in our hearts, in our lives today. As for me, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn aside. I'm not going to fall back. As for me, I'm going to continue on because I want to be in his presence forever. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's call upon him right now.